Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Sunday before Independence Day often affords preachers an opportunity to talk about the intersection of American history and our pilgrimage of faith, to lift up stories that can inspire us, talk about individuals who have been motivated by their belief in God to change our nation for the better. I had planned to give such a sermon today. I was going to spend a few minutes with you talking about the amazing John Quincy Adams, who, while not a particularly successful president, had one of the most distinguished and accomplished tenures in the United States House of Representatives. He served the people of Massachusetts for 2 decades, and during that time, he fought efforts to suppress any discussion of abolition in the House of Representatives. A great man who did great things. And we'll talk about Mr. Adams on another Sunday. The reason I set aside John Quincy Adams for today was because of a news report I came across last week. It was a Gallup poll in which it was reported that 54% of Americans said that they would vote for an atheist for president. I thought about that. That was really a rather remarkable statistic. So I decided to look at some of the data behind this finding and to look at some of the trends and discovered that when this question was first asked in 1958, only 18% of those polled said they would vote for an atheist. In 1983, the number had risen to 44%, and last year, for the first time, a majority said they'd vote for an atheist. Now, why, you may wonder, am I raising this issue this morning? I do not plan to talk about whether someone who does not believe in God is an appropriate holder of our nation's highest office. But what struck me in this finding was that a majority of those polled clearly did not believe that a belief in God was a vital attribute of the person who would lead our nation. And I found that to be rather stunning. And that led me to consider, what role is faith playing in our country? What about Christianity? People have said over the years that America is a Christian nation. And yet, I think a poll result like this refutes that proposition. America is not a Christian nation. We don't expect, at least a majority of us, according to the polls, that our nation's leaders be people of faith. And indeed, we have seen that religion has become increasingly less important to young people in this country. And so Robert Putnam and David Campbell in their book American Grace showed through statistical analysis and review of data how over the last 40 years, people on the theological left and the theological right have successfully alienated the youth of this country. We are not a Christian nation. Even though we might see symbols of what we used to call our civic religion around us, and things like a national prayer breakfast, or the president taking the oath of office on a Bible, or indeed even American flags in our church sanctuaries, we are not a Christian nation. All we need to do is look at the wide variety of religious practice in our country. And we know that once was normative, mainline Protestantism is now just one of many choices for people. With within the Christian family, we hear Catholic voices and evangelical voices. And now we know it's not just Christian voices that are heard in the public sphere. We've heard from our Jewish brothers and sisters for quite a while, but now they're being joined by Hindus and Buddhists and Jains and Baha'is and Muslims. So we're not a Christian nation in terms of our culture. And if we read our founding charter, the Constitution, we will see that we are not a Christian nation in terms of how we are organized. There is no mention of God in the Constitution. The source of political authority is we the people who gather together to do certain things. Now, some might counter and say, well, what about the Declaration of Independence? I remember there's reference to God there. And since we are going to celebrate that declaration on the 4th, maybe we should turn to that. Well, there is mention of God. Nature is God, the creator, a more enlightenment vision of God. No reference to our Trinitarian God in the Declaration of Independence. So, by culture and by organization, we are not a Christian nation. Some might respond to this with despair or fear. They may worry that God is going to punish us for this. But I think the appropriate response to this discovery, to this realization, to this acknowledgement that we are not a Christian nation, isn't worry, but it's really just a shrug of the shoulders. And here's why. Jesus never calls us to be a Christian nation. Jesus calls us to live our lives a certain way. He calls us to follow a path, to journey with him. We hear in the Gospels how we're called to repent and to proclaim the good news of God's love for all people. And we heard in today's reading how Jesus in Matthew's Gospel tells his listeners that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to make it come alive for all people. And what is that law? Well, we heard it in the words of Isaiah, in the words that were Jesus' scripture, that we should feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for the poor and free the oppressed and welcome the outcast. This is what God calls us to do. Now, we in our civic life don't often focus on these things. Our attention is elsewhere, occupied with other priorities. But if we are to be faithful, these are the things we should focus on. And this is not a call for us to support the political platform of one party or another. We may differ on how to do these things within our communities. But whether we're conservative or liberal or libertarian or something else, we can all find ways to feed the hungry and clothe the poor, to care for the sick, to welcome the outcast, to repair the breach. We are not called to be a Christian nation. We are called to be a faithful people. A people who embrace God's vision for the world. A vision that is not reserved just for this country, but for all God's people. And so, in this week when we will celebrate Independence Day, maybe go to a parade or enjoy some fireworks, dig in at a barbecue, we are invited to make our own declarations of independence from views and attitudes that keep us from being the community, from being the individuals that God would have us be. So let's celebrate and let's pray. Let's rejoice and let's serve. Let us go forth in the knowledge that we are a blessed people, not because we're Americans, but because we are children of God. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the many blessings in our lives, those seen and unseen. But on this weekend, when we come together to celebrate the independence of our country, we thank you for one of the gifts we have, and that is the gift of worshiping you in our own way. Help us to appreciate this gift and to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join together now in singing hymn number 440 in the red hymnal, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies.